August 8th, 2023, regular town board meeting.
The Rowan Town Board for August 8th, 2023, and ask if the clerk is ready to record.
Yes.
And if you would please call a roll to establish a quorum.
Councilmember Stewart?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan? Absent. Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
And Councilmember Donahue? Absent. And Supervisor Kuzners?
Here. And are there any veterans in the audience that would like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? If not, ask everyone to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, everyone. The first item, or second item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. And we have one set for July 11, 2023, which was a regular meeting of the Rowan Town Board. Would someone like to move those for adoption?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. This evening is actually a special, very special evening. And I'd like to give you a little bit of the background on why it is special. Several weeks ago, we had a resident from our town who was on Old Bend Road who reached out to me to make me aware that her son had and family has been taken care of in maintaining the Old Bend Cemetery, and very much wanted me to come down and see all the great work that was taking place there. And due to my schedule and being out of town for a week, we're finally able to make it happen this week. And as a result of that, I was so impressed that I have a proclamation that the town board has signed, which I would like to read in its entirety into the record, and then we will present it to Kenny T. Fuller, who is the guest of honor this evening. And shortly after that, I'll ask the family to come up. We'll get some pictures, and we'll go from there. So the proclamation declares August 8, 2023, Kenny T. Fuller Day in the town of Monroe. And it begins with, whereas Kenny T. Fuller was born on December 19, 1966, and attended South Glens Falls Schools in the town of Monroe. And whereas an adolescent, Kenny T. spent his formative years in the town of Monroe with his parents, Reverend Patricia and Frank Gerard, and his younger siblings, Colin, Julianne, and Gabrielle. And whereas Kenny T. is known for and has a love of reading and music, playing his guitar with friends and performing with various bands at parties and weddings throughout the area. And whereas Kenny T. gives generously of his time and is known to selflessly offer his assistance and guidance to anyone in need, and whereas Kenny T., alongside his family and friends, regularly gives back to our community in many ways, including participating in the annual cleanup day at the town of Monroe and the village of South Glens Falls, with a keen interest in the aesthetics of Big Bend Cemetery on Old Bend Road along the banks of the Hudson River. And whereas Kenny T. continues to show his love for his community by single-handedly continuing to take on the arduous task of clearing undergrowth and brush from and around the gravestones contained in Big Bend Cemetery, while ensuring adequate pathways lead into and out of the cemetery so the public may have safe access. And where it is only fitting to recognize the volunteer efforts of Kenny T. that make our town a great place to live. And now, therefore, be resolved that the Monroe Town Board does hereby unanimously proclaim August 8, 2023, as Kenny T. Fuller Day in the town of Monroe. So congratulations.
I had no idea.
Anyone else?
Councilor Pam would like to come up and join you in the picture.
Thank you so much.
We'll move over here. So we'll in the come on. Yes, a lot in the middle.
He told me it was something for her today. No, I won't miss it for the world.
There you go. Congratulations. Thank you very much. And the good news continues. Agenda item 4 is listed as the Big Bend Trail. And as the public may be aware, certainly the town board is, first time we put the project out to bid, due to the constraints that were contained in the proposed timeline, we did not receive any bids back as part of that bid process. But the good news is when we added a little flexibility for the completion date that allowed the contractors to work in the next year to complete the project, we received 10 viable bids, and they ranged anywhere from approximately $464,595 all the way up to $1,179,600. And we have a recommendation to go with the low bidder, and at this time I'll ask Michael with the LA Group just to give us a brief overview on what transpired and what your recommendation is moving forward.
Definitely. Thank you all for having me. And as the supervisor mentioned, we had a very successful rebidding of the project. There were indeed 10 separate bids, ranging from companies such as Carver Construction, Cutting Edge Group, Del Señor, Galusha, HMA Paving, the Luisi Brothers, James Malloy, Perry Construction, Upstate Companies, and finally Wolf Excavation. And the prices were pretty wide-ranging, but the lowest qualified bidder was Wolf Excavation, both for just the base bid as well as for the combination of the base bid and the ad alternate. In discussing with the supervisor and Councilman Van Tassel on how to proceed, it was decided that it would probably be best to push forward with the full build-out, take this opportunity to really make the site shine to its fullest potential. And so with that in mind, I spent the last week discussing the work, previously completed work of Wolf Excavation with various project owners across the local region, as well as his previous employer. He is a relatively new outfit. He's been in business himself for about a year and a half or so. Previously, he had worked at Reifenberg Construction down in Troy for about 19 years. I spoke to some of the project managers down there who worked with him through the last 20 years. Every single one of them had very glowing remarks in terms of his work ethic, his capabilities and skill, and everybody unanimously just kept saying that we wish he never left, and they were sorry for having seen him leave, but they understood that he wanted to move up into higher positions of ownership himself and so on. From the project owner perspective, I spoke to Supervisor Beach of Greenfield, and he had Tom Wolf, who was the owner proprietor of Wolf Excavation, had completed a very large septic field installation at their golf course that was part of their restaurant at the golf course. In his own words, he said that Tom had under-promised and over-delivered, which is to mean that everything that he had stated he would do, he did with great capacity, and in general, the supervisor was blown away with his work. He said that he was able to do the entire job without disrupting their schedule at all, which was a big ask, given that the restaurant remained in business and in operation the entire time all the construction was happening. And he went on to say that he wouldn't hesitate to consider him for any future work, and whether it be at the town, inviting him to bid on future projects, or if he ever had anything personally to take care of, he would be the first person to go to. So that was a very good interview from the supervisor out there. I also spoke to a couple of private resident owners that had him working on various projects last year that also had very positive remarks.
Yeah, I would just add that Kevin Veach, my colleague on the Board of Supervisors, is always in a good mood, and I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that the town has its own golf course, town operating. So it's something that maybe we can aspire to down the road. For the benefit of the public that's in attendance, this is a trail that we have proposed beginning off of Nolan Road, going along the river, head toward the Northway Underpass eventually. This particular project, we did the initial part of the bid that would get us approximately halfway, with the alternate getting us all the way to the washout area, which is right behind the closed landfill that we have adjacent to the site. And the initial numbers that, you know, when we were first looking at this project, we thought they'd be in the $500,000 to $600,000 range, maybe more. And that would be just for the first part of the trail. So this is fantastic news for the town of Monroe that we can have a bid that comes in at less than $500,000. And the other part of that is we have a grant for $250,000, a matching grant. So you know, if we put in another $250,000 as part of that project, we'll get $500,000 on the trail. So it's great news for the town, great news for our residents. And the good news also is that they're hopeful to begin September.
Correct, yes, that was another thing that was very positive. I know that as part of the rebidding, we relaxed the construction schedule, but his fall is looking relatively open, and so he's keen to start in September and go as far as he can. Certainly, it's a relatively large project, and so it still might stretch into the new year, depending on how things shake out this fall with weather dependent, especially for paving. Asphalt paving requires a certain temperature to function, and the plants close at a certain time of the year, depending on how the fall is. So if it's an unreasonably hot fall, then we might actually finish the whole thing this year, but more than likely, it'll still extend into the spring.
Okay.
But he will be breaking ground this year, which is very exciting.
Yes. Any questions for Michael?
No. Thank you for the positive report.
So would the board like to move forward on awarding the contract?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So I'm not sure if the clerk has a resolution. You do have it. Okay.
I do.
Would you like to read it?
Sure. Whereas the town advertised and received sealed bids for the Monroe Big Bend Trail Project, and whereas the town board has determined that the bid from Wolf Excavation LLC meets the bid specifications and represents the lowest responsible bidder at a bid price of $464,595 for full build out. Now therefore be it resolved that the town board hereby awards the bid for the Monroe Big Bend Trail Project to Wolf Excavation LLC with a bid price of $464,595. And be it further resolved that the supervisor and the town's engineer consultant, DLA Group, are hereby authorized to execute any and all necessary documents related to the Monroe Big Bend Trail Project to effectuate the purposes of this resolution.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Would someone like to move that for discussion?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
Just a thank you to the LA Group and Michael. I know that you went through some hurdles to get it done. You were on your game. I appreciate it. We agree.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And thank you to Councilman Tassel. I know he kind of led this with the supervisor's office. So from the rest of the board members, thank you. And I'm excited to see this started, hopefully, with that September date that you just said.
Yeah, and I just want to echo comments of my colleagues on the board. Michael worked very closely with my office through the entire process. This was a priority for us to get it underway this year. The fact that, worst case scenario, we'll have potential to have it in use by the spring is just fabulous. So thank you for all your work on that.
Thank
so,
you.
With that, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Thanks.
Agenda item 5 is the zoning administrator's contract, which we will take up at our next town board meeting. Agenda item 6 is highway department. We have a request from the highway superintendent, Chris Abrams, to open a purchase order in the amount of $25,000 with the Global Mantello Group out of Waltham, Massachusetts, under Saratoga County contract number PC69516. So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Just for the record, the account has a current balance of $68,398.81 as of August 31st. The original budget is $120,000 for that use. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We do have a couple more items. I'd like to bring up the next pressing one is in relation to the highway fuel pumps. As the board may be aware, due to changes in regulations and required upgrades, we're looking at having to invest well over $27,000 to make the necessary upgrades so we can utilize those pumps. I've had extensive conversations with the highway superintendent, and his recommendation is to do what many municipalities do and what the county does, to go to the WEC system, where the employees have a card and we track all purchases. Actually, the company tracks all the purchases, the necessary taxes that normal taxable entities are charged are taken out because we are a tax exempt organization. And he's recommending that we move forward with that program and save the highway budget $27,000. The other issue is the not very big tanks. It's not uncommon because we service the emergency squad.
Saratoga Waters.
There's a number of the municipal organizations that we have agreed to allow them to use the pumps. They don't maintain storage for a very long time. So one of the reasons we want to move this forward earlier rather than later is so that we can give the necessary heads up to those organizations so they can plan accordingly down the road. So I don't know. Do you want to add any more to that, Chris?
No. The company, the WEX company, they're more than willing to work with these other organizations. It doesn't cost anything to get started. The fees are extremely minimal. And they do all the legwork as far as paperwork. And it's basically the same system we got now, only instead of using our own pumps, we can use any diesel or gas station and within 48 states.
Right. And if the board recalls at our organizational meetings, we do have a resolution authorizing the fire company, the community center, emergency squad, South Plains Falls Central School, county public health nurse, rec building department, transfer station, sewer department, water department to utilize that. So obviously it's not a big issue for town entities, but we do want to, you know, move that forward. So does that require, what does that require?
A motion.
Just a motion, yes. To utilize the WEX Pay fuel card system?
Yes.
All right. Do we have to rescind the resolution 25?
Can I see? Because they're not going to be purchasing it from the town.
Right.
Yeah, I would rescind it and then indicate, because it's from the organizational meeting.
Yeah.
I would rescind that and indicate that you're going to be starting to use that system. When would you have that effective? When would that go into effect?
It's going to take a little bit of time before you start the paperwork, and it doesn't go into effect until we can sign up and then notify, or we can notify, sign up, and then as our tanks drain down and they can get what they want, we can implement it at any time after that.
So there is a potential that we'll be still using those entities may still be buying from the town before that goes into place.
Yes.
Okay. So when you may not want to repeal that right now because they're still going to be using.
Yes, I'll figure in 30 to 60 days.
So maybe we wait, give him authority to sign up for it, but don't repeal that until you tell the board that you're done with using that. At that point, you can do that.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Are you going to reach out to those entities as highway superintendent? Do you want me to do it from my office and notify?
Being your supervisor, I'd have you do it from your office.
Okay, so how long do we want? How much notice do we want to give? 60 days?
You said it's going to be 30 to 60 days until this book gets.
I would say, because we still have to work with the recreation department, the water department, get them on board.
So October 31st?
Sounds good.
Everybody okay with this? All right, so then with that, I'll entertain a motion to authorize the town to enter into agreement and allow the supervisor to sign necessary documentation to receive services from WexPay fuel credit card services.
So, second.
Any further discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That work for you, Chris?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The next issue is in relation to a request for a three-way stop sign. This would be at the corner of Peter Dam Road, Tanglewood, Hilton Drive. The highway superintendent is totally within his authority to make that determination, but we did talk jointly about it. I know that you're going to reach out to the school district. See if you want input from them on it as well before we take any action on that. But I wanted everybody to be aware that we did receive that request. And then the last item I have under highway, the highway superintendent also made me aware of a request in relation to Speakman. I think it's Speakman Court, is that?
Speakman Street.
And just for a little history, and we may have folks here that very much interested in what we have to say about that. This has been, as you're well aware, if you've lived there for a while, an ongoing issue for well over 10, 15 years, maybe longer. When the issue first became critical, I think it was like 2008, we did look into a repair so that we could open the road. I think the engineering evaluation at that time, we were looking at $500,000 to $1 million. But the part that I was on the board at the time, so I recall it. The concern of the board at that time, we heard from the engineers that they couldn't guarantee that it would stay in place. So that coupled with the fact that we hadn't budgeted for it at that time, the road was closed. And fast forward to this past week or so, and talking with the highway superintendent, we were looking at, you know, what are the possibilities of, you know, getting it completely reopened now. And I know that you're going to go down, we may have an engineer look at it, but the highway superintendent believes it's feasible to open one lane, which we would have to make it one way, obviously. So that's an option. You know, it's not a perfect option, but you would be able to have one-way traffic through there. We could probably do that as quickly as next week while we get evaluations on a long-term fix for it. But I don't know if that's something that I know. Yes, sir.
Excuse me. My name is Larry LaRose. And I've lived on the corner of Tom's Lane and Speakman for 38 years, okay? What you're talking about is opening the one side, which they did in the past, okay, or not. The problem there is this. I almost got hit twice, head on, coming in from the Fort Edward Road because people are going both directions on that one road. You know, garbage trucks, delivery trucks, everybody. So if you're gonna do it, you're gonna have to put signs and everything to say one way. Because you had a big barrier right there that said road closed. That didn't stop anybody from going around.
Chris, you want to elaborate on, you know, if we take that action, if you take that action?
We did make it one way, and I don't know if you're the fellow that lives right there, right across from Hopley.
I live right on the corner, one without the joint, the big house right on the corner.
The fellow that's kitty corner for you, he complained the same thing, that traffic was going both ways. And that oftentimes cars would come and then get out and start arguing with each other. And it was posted one way. We obviously cannot police it once it's in place.
Right.
So I don't know, I really don't have an answer.
I just want to say one thing. I did not see a one-way sign anywhere. And I live right there. I live right there on the corner. Right there. I get out every morning and I look at that barrier right there. So I don't miss too much that goes on in much higher. But there was not a one-way sign because I stopped two guys in a village truck, one morning, two young guys, and I explained to them what was going on in the traffic coming in both directions. And they both looked at each other and said to me, "You mean to tell me that there's people going both directions on that road?" And I said, "Yes, they are." I said, "Because I've almost been hit twice head on." I said, "And there's not a one-way sign posted anywhere coming in the other direction or right on that corner so people know that to turn right and go down it." So I'm just telling you, there was not, to my knowledge, any one-way sign anywhere out there.
So why don't we hold off action on this, because I know that members of the public have signed up to speak on it, so we're not going to take any action until you speak on it. So we'll move on down the agenda, it won't take very long, we'll come back to it, and then everybody will have an opportunity to weigh in on that. So that's all I have for highway. Did you have anything else?
No.
All right. Agenda item 7 is recreation department. I think we only have one item. This is in relation to security cameras at the Little Lake fields. We've had some discussion over the past several board meetings as to permitting about 5 to 7 cameras in that area for security purposes. We have had some clarification from our rec director, Jeremy Grogan. He has indicated that the entity will not be broadcasting any games. The cameras will be inside. There will be 2 cameras inside the concession on the new batting cages and on the 4 corners of the building. And the town, Monroe, will be granted full access if we are interested. And they'll be purchasing and paying for the annual fee associated with the security system. And so I don't know if the board has to approve or...
Well, because it's going out of the building, you have to approve.
Okay.
The use of it.
And just for clarity, correct me if I'm wrong, this is softball, the last conversation was with...
Yeah, so literally we approved, and this is in fact very similar to what we did for Little League. They just wanted the same thing.
Okay. Did you want to, I know we've been working with them on that.
Yeah, no, it's, they answered all the questions, and speaking with our town council as well, it seems like this is going to be a security. We're going to have full access. It's going to be great as far as the rec director will have access right to his phone along with Bruce. So, and any other person who needs it. So, I think it's, I'd like to take action on it tonight.
It's okay with Bruce. With that, someone can move that. Offer a resolution.
I'd like to make a motion to approve Falcon Falls. Youth softball and installing 7 cameras on the concession stand, batting cages, and the 4 corners of the building, which will be at no cost to the town and will be maintained by the organization.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Agenda item 8 is Water Department. We have a request from our water superintendent. Since he's in the process of repairing water meters, he would like authority to purchase 576, is that number right, meters? Oh no, it's 48, I'm sorry, 48 meters at $232.55 each. So that would be $11,162.40. This is a sole source supplier. It's Ferguson Waterworks. And we currently have a balance of $700,485.20 as of August 31st.
How many?
48. Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 9, we have requests from the courts. This is in relation to court clerk's conference that is occurring September 17th through the 20th at Turning Stone Resort in Rome, New York. And the judge's magistrate's conference October 1st through the 4th at the Marriott in Syracuse. And we have, I think all the board members received a memo from the justices in relation to their attendance at the annual New York State Magistrates Association Conference and Magistrates Court Clerks Association Conference. In their memo, they are respectfully requesting the approval of court clerks Kara Gutowski, Ellen McFadden, Christine Brown, Daniel Rellier, Ronald Belisle, and Judges Hogan and McCabe to attend their respective annual state association conferences. We have budgeted for these expenses and have the necessary funds to cover them. They know, please be advised that Judge Kenneth Cole Johnson from the town of Day, Saratoga County, is the president-elect and will be sworn in as the president of the State Magistrates Association. We'd like to show our support from the Saratoga County Magistrates and Court Clerks Association members. Court clerks conferences will be in Verona, New York on Sunday, 9/17 through 9/20, the Turning Stone Resort, and Judge Morgan and McCabe's conference will be at the Marriott on East Onondaga Street, Syracuse, which will occur from October 1st through October 4th. The cost of the court clerks will be no more than $3,964.42, and the cost for the judges will be no more than $1,942.42. The total for both the court clerks and the two judges to attend their conferences will not exceed $5,906.84. Somebody like to move that?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Planning board, we have received notice of resignation from one of our members, current members. Eric Bergman has sent me a notice of his intent to resign the Moreau Planning Board. Says dear Chairman Kuznier, after much thought, I decided to resign my position as a member of the town Moreau Planning Board. I've been on the board for about 14 years and feel it's time to step away to let fresh perspective be heard. After a break, I'll look for opportunities to resume contributing to my local community. I'll continue to serve on the planning board through the months of August and September in order to provide adequate time to find a replacement. It's been a pleasure to work with the current and past board members as well as Joe Patrick and Jim Martin. Respectfully, Eric Bergman. So can we accept that?
Effective
September
30th. September
30th. Yep. Right. So we'll have to put someone up for a motion to accept this resignation.
So
any discussion?
I want to thank him for his service. He's done a, in my opinion, he's done a fantastic job for us. He's level-headed and great balance to the board. I'm starting to see him though. Understand and respect the decision.
Yeah, I responded to him earlier in the day, thanking him for his service on behalf of the town residents and
indicating that having served for such an extensive period of time has undoubtedly made the town of Monroe a better place to live and raise a family. So wish them best wishes in all his future endeavors. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And I do have, I think all board members have had an opportunity to meet with an individual who is interested in joining the planning board. So this would be, it would be to fill the unexpired term. If Eric's term expires on December 31st, 2025.
Is that the only vacancy in the planning board? Because I think there's probably another vacancy because of the
details. We do have a vacancy, same date.
Same date, okay, so it doesn't matter. So we did an expired term of chairman then, because that was vacant first.
Yes.
Right.
And that would be effective October
1st.
And the individual is Bradley Nelson, who has, I know I've met with him several times over the last 2 years. I think each of you have had opportunities to chat with him. Very much interested in taking a role in serving the community in that capacity. So my recommendation would be to appoint Brad Nelson as a member of the town planning board to fill the unexpired term of the former chairman, which would serve from October 1st, 2023 through December 31st, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is agenda item 11, the supervisor item. We just have a few. The first one is the monthly sales tax distribution. The town of Monroe for the month of July received $406,402. This is a 14.48% increase over last year, which is good news because we've been trailing behind countywide. All the towns have been trailing behind through the year. So it's nice to see a big uptick in this. As everyone on the board knows, sales tax revenue funds a lot of our different departments, funds all of the highway department. And by utilizing that, we don't have to have a highway tax. We don't have to have other tax increases as well. We're actually able to decrease taxes. So that's very good news. Last item that I have is the town attorney received correspondence from the attorney for Scott T. Earl, who was the individual who had offered the town to purchase 3 lots in the industrial park, essentially about 30% premium over the appraised value of those lots. And the correspondence indicated today that he had withdrawn his offer to purchase those 3 lots, which is unfortunate for our community because that would have been an influx of cash to the tune of $725,000 that could have been utilized for expanding our recreation opportunities, additional trails in our towns. Fire department, I've met with them, you know, council member been tasked with the fire department. They're looking to purchase a new ladder truck. So, you know, the unfortunate part is, you know, we'll have to look for other ways to try and accommodate those types of that growth in our community. So, I wanted to report that on the record. I don't have any executive item in the session.
I know.
Anybody else? Sure. All right. Any other news? Good. All right. You folks, if you don't want to stay for the whole meeting, you don't have to. I just know if you like what you're seeing here and you're entertained and have nothing better to do tonight. So you're free to get up and leave it if you like. Just want to let you know that. So that takes us to privilege of the floor. I do have a couple individuals that have requested to speak, and I suspect that they're in relation to the highway issue that we were talking about earlier in the meeting. Just a reminder, when I call your name, please state your name and address for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes to address the board. First name that I have is Elizabeth
Ketzel.
Yeah. So, there you go. Thank you very much.
Okay. As you just stated, my name is Elizabeth Ketzel, and I reside at 5 Birch Drive. As you also stated, I am interested in the road closure of Speakman, which I handed you pictures for, showing you the amount of damage that is on the road. I also gave you pictures on the map of our neighborhood. On April 18th, it was put in the paper that the road was going to be closed for an undetermined amount of time due to road failure. On April 25th, it was also in your meeting minutes then. Since the road closed on April 18th, that's when it was in the paper, I think it was actually a couple days before that the damage happened, there has been 2 to 3 times more traffic on Birch Drive, which has increased the amount of traffic in front of our home because we are at the intersection of Birch and Robert Rogers. Obviously, my son is adorable and he's 4 and I don't want him to get hit by a car. So we constantly have children at play in our neighborhood, in front of my home, in front of everywhere within the community. We have people riding bikes. We have neighbors that go for nightly walks. People are coming off of the road at 55 miles per hour and entering our neighborhood. It is an extremely dangerous turn as well. So as you can see from the pictures, they are coming off. It is a blind turn as they are coming into the neighborhood now because Speakman being closed. So before that, you could stop earlier in the road, like on Fort Edward Road, you would stop at Speakman, you could make the left-hand turn, and then you could come into the neighborhood that way. Now, you're coming in, you're nervous people are coming up that hill very quickly, or if you're coming from Fort Edward, from 197 coming up, it's 180 degrees to get into our neighborhood. Which also, if we have any problems, an emergency, it is very difficult for a fire truck to come all the way that way. It is nearly impossible, even for my husband's dump truck, to make that turn. You are completely around. Now, with it only being one entrance, I'm extremely concerned. 3 years ago, we had trees that fell across that bridge. If it wasn't for all of these neighbors who came out with chainsaws, that tree was not going anywhere. We weren't getting out of our neighborhood. No town showed up, nobody from the town, everybody here took chainsaws, took care of it. I'm also very nervous about our property values and what that looks like for our neighborhood. This past year, you guys raised our property values in the neighborhood at least twice, I believe, and you did that while the road was closed. You added $30,000 to our home alone, so I'm not really sure how that adds in. I did speak with Christopher Abrams, your highway superintendent from the town of Moreau, last week, and I did call for an estimate for a date of repair. At that time, he then left me a message, and as I quote said, Speakman, at this point, the one lane is indefinitely closed. You have seen the damage. Right now, we are in no position to repair it. I'm sorry if this is an inconvenience. An inconvenience is an understatement, in my opinion. It's not an inconvenience. It's a safety hazard. Also, I spoke with Christopher Abrams again on Monday. He told me that 10 years ago, you guys got an estimate for repair at $500,000 with no guarantee. I understand that that's a lot of money, but my question to you then is why then for 10 years have we not been putting our shekels away, hiding our pennies, and making sure that when the road fails, we had a solution in place? The resolution that you're proposing today, I don't think is a resolution at all, as one of the neighbors has already mentioned. He also told me that the residents do not pay for the highway department that comes from the Saratoga County sales taxes, which you yourself have said are up 14%. I have been chasing that number all day today, so I could come prepared to tell you that at $403,000, I'm so upset because if my son gets hurt, I'm really going to be upset. There are programs that the state has for safe streets for all. There's bipartisan infrastructure law that can take and help fund to fix the road. I don't think that this is a lost cause, and I think that it's important to everybody here.
Thank you. And I noticed that Zane has signed up to speak. Would he like to speak as well?
He actually.
All right, come on, Zane. Come on,
what do you
want to
say? You don't want to tell them to fix the road?
No,
tell them your mommy's
right. Tell them, fix the road! So now that I've had one person speak, I also have a letter from somebody within the neighborhood. I was told I needed one person to speak between me, so I wasn't on record for 6 minutes.
Well, so we do have other individuals signed up. Customarily, we allow them to speak, and then we can come back.
Fix the road, make me drive me nuts.
Message received. The next individual is Ray Ruby.
Good evening. I'm Ray Ruby. I live at 1 Robert Rogers Avenue, Cape Corners, to Kensel's. I think Elizabeth's already stated pretty much everything that I wrote down that I wanted to say, but we've lived here for a little over 20 years. My in-laws live on Fort Edward Road next to Speakman, and they've lived there for many years before us, so we knew the neighborhood. That's why we moved there. So we saw how quiet that neighborhood was, you know, and how nice that was. And the difference since that's been closed is very noticeable. And unsafe. And we talk about cars going by our house. We're not just talking about cars. We're talking about service vehicles. We're talking about all the dump trucks. We're talking about heating and cooling trucks I've seen coming through. And they're not slowing down. They're not slowing down. They're barely making the turn in front of their house and ending up on my lawn. Because that's the way to get into our neighborhood. That's where you have to turn. You have to turn where our two houses are. I know this young man. I know him. I see him all the time. I know we come into the neighborhood. Trust me, after I dodge cars to come in across Fort Edward Road at Birch, I slow down right away. But obviously, I know the folks. I know this little guy. I know some of the other small kids in the neighborhood. There's another home right next to theirs with little ones that you go by their lawn just before you come to their house. We've all seen the close calls that have been occurring just constantly. The number of cars going by our home now, again, not just cars, all the service vehicles as well, has increased immensely. She talked about the tree that came down. It's, in the 20 years that we've lived there, that's happened at least 3 times, where Birch Road was completely blocked off and was blocked off for at least a half a day, sometimes more than a day, because of the trees that came down, the size of the trees that came down, and the time that it took. You know, it's an emergency. We know it takes time for, you know, service vehicles to get to us. But the neighborhood folks, we all came out with our chainsaws to cut it up, and it took that time. That road is closed. You know, just put yourselves in our position. You know, that something fall. I'm not going to say if it happens again. More trees are going to fall there because there's a ravine right there when you come in. That's just like the one we're speaking of, the Stalling Park. It's going to happen again, right? And when those come down, put yourself in our spot. You know, if it's your house that catches fire, and I hate to be alarmist. But if it's your house that catches on fire, then that road is impassable, right? Or one of your family members that needs immediate medical care and nobody can get through. When Elizabeth told me that, you know, oh no, I heard that they're not going to open that. I said, there's no way. There's no way they're even considering that because of issues like that. Also, look at the road. Look at Birch Road. Come down and check it out. There's a ravine that you have to drive over before you come into the neighborhood. That's falling away. And now you're putting all the traffic over it. And again, all the service vehicles, all the heavy equipment. Mark knows he brought in a cement truck across that bridge. It's unsafe. It's completely unsafe. If my children were still this young, I'd probably even be more heated. Because Even when we had one or two cars going by, I was that guy standing on the road yelling at people to slow down, even if they were doing 10 miles an hour. But now that has increased, as she said, 2-3, sometimes 4-fold, depending on the day, especially around when people are coming home from work or when service folks do come through. So we're hoping you understand. We understand that it costs money. We understand that this is a tough position. But this is also, these are our lives. This is our livelihood. This is our neighborhood. It's a great neighborhood. As we said, we all stick together. We all came out with the chainsaws cut down. The only time we couldn't is when one of the trees brought down the power lines. That was the only time we ran out there. We were offering to help. We were told to stay back. We hope you'll come up with a solution, even if it does cost money, just so we can keep everybody safe.
Appreciate it. The next individual is Larry, I think, Schaefer. Is Larry Schaefer wish to be heard?
Maybe he left Larry.
Was it? If not, do want, first of all, I want to be crystal clear. Everybody on this board is concerned about public safety in Waldorf. That's why the road got closed, because it wasn't safe. I have to tell you that when that road was closed by the previous highway superintendent, been through many different budget cycles, and not once did he bring up that this needed to be taken care of. And you know, when we're putting budgets together, we expect that the department heads are interfacing with the community on what they're looking for, what their needs are. And so that may be one of the reasons why it was never looked at any further after the initial look and discussion with an engineer. Now, having said that, I have no problem working with the highway superintendent on behalf of the board to have an engineer come in, start the initial process of what we're looking at for dollars. I have a terrible feeling of what it's going to be because of what the costs were 15 years ago. We can look into it and see what the feasibility is on. In the interim, I don't know what everybody's feeling is. Would you want to have a one-lane road at this point in time while we work through that, or just leave it completely closed until we get answers? One way?
Yes. One way,
if it's safe.
I wanted to speak too tonight.
Come on up. Are you?
My name is Larry LaRoe, not Larry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My name is Larry LaRoe, so I didn't know you, Larry. Don't. Some of you probably go by that. I live at One Hobbs Lane. I've lived there for 38 years. And since this inconvenience took place, which irritates me to hear that because it's much more than just that, okay? Everything has changed out there. We lived there long enough to see all of the kids in that, kids in that neighborhood used to be able to play out on those streets without worrying about getting run down or anything else. You can't do that anymore. The contract, somebody said, well, contractor trucks out there driving in their yard. They probably came from my house because I didn't have a new heating system to make. And the first thing they did was they complained about how hard and dangerous it was to come up the Fort Edward Road and turn into that Birch Avenue. Somebody needs to get down there with us so we can stand there and point out to you how difficult and dangerous it is to come up that Fort Edward Road and make that very, very sharp turn and try to get your vehicle in there without falling down into that embankment that's that deep. That whole thing needs to be redone and refilled in and re-blacktopped and marked so that the cars coming up from the Fort Edward Road know that the person in front of them is going to be trying to make a sharp right-hand turn to get out Birch Avenue. That's just one thing. The other thing is, yes, open up one lane on that road so these guys don't have all that traffic down there on that. My kids playing outside all the time down there, and I feel bad for them. Because I remember my kids, they played outside, but no problem. They can't do that anymore. That's not good, okay? We have a beautiful, quiet neighborhood, and I just don't like to see it in disarray the way it is right now. If you're going to open up that one lane, let's try to do a little bit better job of marking it off. Because like I'm saying, I did not see any one-way signs anywhere out there so that you didn't end up getting two vehicles head-on on that curve on that back road.
What's the A lot of what was brought up this evening sounds like an enforcement issue. What's the speed limit in the, on the road?
I was just about to say, maybe we can get some speed limit signs like on Birch Drive too, or like a children's play sign.
We have no signs.
There is no.
We have no signs.
So it's 55.
So.
They come off and they just use the roadway.
The one thing on,
it's posted at 30 miles per hour.
Yeah.
So the other. So the other thing, you know, on the enforcement side, I have no problem reaching out to the county sheriff, see if we can get some stepped up patrols in there.
Disappear. One more thing about that. As long as I've lived out there, I can probably count the number of times on one hand that I've seen a police officer take a drive through our neighborhood. That's probably a good thing because we don't have anything going on over there. But on the other hand, it's nice to let people know that we do have police officers that know we exist over that area.
I think they hear that.
Okay? Yeah, please listen to what everybody in here said because it's all truth and it's all worth looking at.
Well, no question about it.
We want that road reopened, but at least open part of it to begin with. So maybe that'll ease up some of the stuff that's going on over there right now. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Chris, when do you think you could get the necessary barricades relocated through there and the proper signage in there so that you could do that?
We can probably start Monday.
Next week?
Okay.
Chris, what are you going to do to keep them from going on that failed section of road?
All I can do is barricade that failed section.
So is that the plan to do barricades all the way?
It's barricaded now.
Across, right?
Yeah.
So what are we going to do to barricade them from, as they're, it's a one-way road, what is going to keep them from using the whole road even though it's a one-way road? Are we barricading that whole west side?
That's going to be the difficult part.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what's going to keep an 18-wheeler or these contractors or anybody from not using that whole road? Yes, I get that the pinch point's going to be the size of one lane, but we're not pinching the entire road. And what are we going to do on the side with an 18-wheeler now goes out to try to make the swoop to now get through the one-way barrier? There's definitely more of a public concern on that. I totally get all that, but we're also on the other end of, we have nothing to keep that road from completely failing and somebody going down from a sign. So I really, before we completely take that, I'd like to see what the cost is to actually put up barricades on that side and make it truly a one-lane road.
Oh, I have mafia blocks.
We have enough?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Is that a part of the plan?
They're already there.
He has a picture.
It's
completely blocked.
Yeah, but they're not blocking the actual, they're not talking about the actual driving lane.
Chris Carlisi, 6 Hobbs Lane.
Come on up so that the clerk can get you on the record.
C-A-L-I-S-I. I just wanted to ask you to please call the school bus garage because as my neighbors have seen, it is truly a sight to see a school bus heading north on Fort Edward Road trying to turn into Birch in the morning. And, you know, my husband will tell you what a great driver I am. It is a really precipitous turn, and it's really scary to watch this when there's snow and ice.
Or you can cross it.
Or
you can cross it to the left.
Right. So you could just double check with the people at the school bus.
Peter Carlisi, same spelling.
I just wanted to let everybody know that there are 41 homes affected by that closure. A total of 41 homes that have to use that one way. I did a count this morning. I was really surprised that number was as high as it is. There's 7 on Speakman, 8 on Roberts, 12 on what I call the Laurel Loop, 11 on Hobbs, and I counted 3 on Birch.
It's not just a little, you know, I think as Mr. LaRose described, it seems like a much smaller neighborhood than what it is because our houses are far apart and it's quiet, but there are 41 homes in there. It's not just a little dead end street.
Okay. Well, you heard what the highway super is going to do in the short term, and we'll look into what the feasibility is, what has to be done, and you know, what we're looking at, and
we'll take it from there.
Yeah, especially since we've got a few weeks before school starts, right, and our little ones are out.
But it's good to know an ambulance or something can get in.
Right.
In an emergency.
No question.
Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you.
You got it. Any other member of the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Jim Fuller, 7 Market Avenue. You know, I've spoken about this in the past. We've got a real problem going from the town road ends by my house. It's the Marin Water Project. That's privately owned property. But you've got 3 families who are taxpayers living up there, and there's nothing done up there. We get a lot of speeding coming from there for the people who don't own property up there. And I know that that concerns everybody in the neighborhood. So, I mean, speed limit signs don't work. Those of us who live in the neighborhood, coming off of Burke, where I do a lot of parking, I can slow down, as does everybody else. But I still see the problem with that property that's not town. And even in the wintertime, the roads are crying. I mean, the people who live there, I don't know how they do it. In the summertime, with the rain, it's a real nightmare. So I would just like to have that addressed somewhere down the road. If you could approach the guy who owns that property up there.
So I think I visited that site on another complaint. I don't know whether it was. Okay. So that, you're right. It's a private drive, right? Going up to the.
Yes.
Yeah. And the water's coming down from the property out in the public road.
Yeah, but in the wintertime, it's a nightmare because the people who pay taxes, if that guy doesn't go and plow that road, they're stuck up there, or they got to do it themselves. So I just would like to see something done about that property, about the guy that owns that property. I mean, I'm all for Elizabeth and Patrick, and everybody in here, we feel the same way about that one-way road. If it were one-way, that'd be fine with me, but there's got to be some kind of control.
Okay.
And maybe we had, I don't know if you're going to have sheriff patrolling the couch, we can't even patrol, it's a small neighborhood.
Oh, we can get patrol.
Well, put them down there in Russia.
Okay. Any other member of the public wish to be heard?
So I just have this letter that was written by one of the members of our community. It says, Morrow Town Board, I am writing to you regarding road closure Speakman Street. I live on Hobbs Lane, and the closure has directly affected the residents in the neighborhood. The closure has impacted all of us in the area. Some residents have seen an influx of traffic past their homes. With increased traffic comes increased risk. Residents with small children have increased worries with traffic doubling past their homes. It could be said that kids shouldn't be in the road, that I get, but the reality is that we all consider the amount of traffic and quiet of the area when purchasing our homes. The road closure has dynamically changed this. What if there is an emergency response for the area happens? Emergency vehicles could impact being able to leave for durations of the emergency. In case of a fire, we have no hydrants in the area. How does a water supply shuttle happen and get in? And this could impact the residents, but just as important, if the ambulance is on the wrong side of the fire truck, it could be unusable for the duration. Meaning a firefighter or citizen that needs to get to the hospital would suffer a delay. Fire trucks can be rather large, and they are able to effectively make the turn from Birch Drive onto Robert Rogers. Not just this time of year, but what about in the winter months? Another point is with the storms that nowadays happen to come in fast and at hard times. What happens if a tree comes down across Birch Lane and blocks access? Last point I would like to bring up is the intersection of Birch Drive and Fort Edward Road. For one, it is the curve, and it seems to be an issue. I would say turning in from either direction is at times sketchy at best. Coming from the reservoir side has its challenges, and a vehicle coming from 197 around that corner fast enough for concern to pull into the area. Coming from 197 side, you must make a turn of almost 180 degrees. The problem with the intersection does not even count darkness, and if there is a car or cars coming off of Birch at night making a right turn of Fort Edward Road, you cannot see anything as the area is unlit and headlights are of no use when you are turned that way. The Birch Drive and Fort Edward Road intersection is not set up for this increased traffic. Can the board or anyone definitively tell us how this impacts the value of our homes and our safety? If it was good enough to be there in the first place, shouldn't it be fixed? I get that it is not that big of a deal or we can get around, but we had a road that was previously was open and things were different. The change of the road being closed is a negative change that I believe, if was corrected, would increase the safety and quality of life of the residents. Respectively, Peter Kitchener. And I'll give this to you.
You can give it to the clerk. She'll put it in the record.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other member of the public wish to be heard? If not, I have a final job for this young man. If you would like to close the meeting, you can come right up here and bang the
gavel.
All right. That's awesome.
When I tell you, you're going to bang, you're going to bang this once, okay? You want to tell me?
Okay, go ahead.
So, nope, not yet. I'll entertain a motion to close the meeting.
So,
all in favor?
All right.
Bang the gavel. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.